This program is being recorded on Thursday, March 13th, 2014. Welcome to It's Not Personal, It's Business, a program about small women-owned businesses in Baltimore City. I'm your host, Janice Kaufman, owner of Waterfront Technologies. My guest today is Kim Manfredi, owner of Charm City Yoga. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you for having me.
Just to give you a little background about Kim, Kim loves teaching yoga. She promises to help heal your body, calm your mind, and discover who you really are. She first took yoga classes in 1988 and has been helping students to practice yoga since 1996. Kim and her husband, Chris Blades, opened Charm City Yoga in 2000, and the studio now has 7 locations, 3 downtown in Baltimore City and 4 in the Baltimore suburbs. They offer hundreds of classes per week at their various studios, and they have countless students that have been transformed by Charm City Yoga's method of teaching, which maintains that an individualized yoga practice will help you thrive. Kim's a teacher, and she is also the owner, and she's the first one in Baltimore to open up a yoga studio. Is that right?
I'm the first. No.
No.
I mean, in Baltimore City, I think we were basically the first yoga studio, and we did open Charm City Yoga because we wanted a place to practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It says you cultivate instructors. So the instructors that are at your various locations, they've been trained.
We did have the first teacher training in Baltimore. Okay. So it's true. When we opened Charm City Yoga at the end of the first year, I realized I need to go to India and be with my teachers. And so at that point, I was like, I need to train a teacher. And that's how it began. And ever since, we've been holding teacher trainings for more advanced students.
And how often do you go to India?
I go to India every year.
Wow. And what do you do when you're there?
Well, I practice. I'm actually a student. I'm not teaching when I'm there. Right now, I go to Mysore, India, and I began going to Mysore to study with a teacher named Patabi Joyce. He's since passed away. Now his daughter and his grandson teach Ashtanga yoga in the city of Mysore, and that's where I go to practice for at least 1 month per year.
And where is Mysore?
I land in Bangalore, and then it's 3-hour train ride from Bangalore to Mysore. Okay. And it's sort of in the south of India, not too far south, not Tamil Nadu, but far enough away from Delhi that I call it India Light.
Okay.
It's very, it's a very easy part of India to travel in.
Okay. You know what? I also want to touch upon the fact that you're also an artist.
I am.
So
I am.
I see here that you have a Bachelor of Fine Arts from the Institute, from MICA. And then you joined the Hofburg School of Painting as a graduate student.
Yeah, I went back after 20 years, 20 years after I got my undergrad degree. Yeah.
Having gone back myself to get my master's, I know it's a shock to the system.
It was fantastic. Oh, my God. Hanging out with all those kids, fantastic. Yeah.
Okay, and it says you've won both the Hofburger and the Polyvoy Merit Scholarship.
That's right.
That's incredible.
And I got to study with Grace Hartigan before she passed away.
Wow.
She passed away while I was enrolled in the program. And so it was really a very special time to be back at MICA.
Can you tell us about your artistic style?
Yeah, well, at this point, I'm an abstract painter. I make large abstract canvases that, in a way, relate to the yoga practice. They describe the ambiguity between the micro and the macro, so the very, very small and the very, very large. And when I start to explore that concept with paint, I recognize that the images from the Hubble Space Telescope, for example, are not that much different than the images of cancer cells, for example. And so in my abstract work, I think I play around with those kinds of ideas, not necessarily representationally, but as avenues of exploration, whether I'm talking about big or small, and then their overlap.
What medium do you use? You canvas, but is acrylic or oil?
Well, I use enamels for the oil painting. But right now I'm actually exploring watercolors, so that's nice too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have your artwork in your studios?
Yeah, all of our studios contain paintings. And actually, they contain the paintings from my entire history. So depending on which studio you go to, you might have a different era. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very interesting. Okay, well, let me get to some of the questions. Being that the show is about small women-owned businesses, let's start with that. What are your thoughts of being a small woman-owned business? Has it helped you financially? Has it hurt you? Has it been easier to connect with people or with banks and financial institutions? Could you give us a little background on that?
Well, I've never used the minority status to get a loan. Mm-hmm. I did have a company previous to the yoga studios, which was a small decorative painting company, and that we definitely used our minority status mm-hmm. to get government contracts and things like that.
Right.
In the yoga world, being a woman-owned business, other than perhaps the interest and the support from other women didn't necessarily provide us with any kind of advantage.
When you first started out, did you find that there was any sort of restriction or anything held back financially if you needed bank assistance, that kind of thing?
We grew this company extremely organically.
Mm-hmm.
We started out with 2 classes a week in a building that I already owned.
Right.
And all of our growth has come from profits we made in the business. Our growth has been a result of the need that the community has presented us with mm-hmm. and opportunities for new teachers to share their craft.
Right.
So we've kind of been in response mode
mm-hmm.
up until very recently. And recently, we have had to take loans to do renovations for some of our new studios.
Right.
But in the beginning, it really was an organic kind of growth without actually a business plan that was just in response to a need.
You were just saying that, you know, you've just recently, with some renovations and such, you've had to actually go and see about getting loans. Have you noticed, has it been difficult with the economy being what it is, getting loans right now, securing financing?
I think after it's been 14 or 15 years, our business has been thriving.
Mm-hmm.
The banks have been knocking on our doors to give
wow.
us money.
That's nice to hear. I mean,
yeah.
I wish I could hear that kind of feedback from more small businesses, but
but
I'm glad to hear it. You were talking about women, and that's something I was noticing, is that many of your instructors are women, and there's a lot of women in yoga. Is it because they're more flexible, or they're maybe more open-minded, or I don't know, how would you characterize that?
It's really only this generation that women are yoga teachers or mm-hmm. even allowed to participate in the practice. If you went back even to the 1900s, right, Parliament of Religions, when yoga first came to the West, it was unheard of that a woman would be participating in yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Krishnamacharya had one woman student, and that was because her father was like an ambassador to the king of Mysore, and he made Krishnamacharya teach her, you know. So women were very taboo in the practice. That being said, when the Parliament of Religions happened, you know, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, it was wealthy women who took these teachers in and networked them into what we would call wealthier society,
mm-hmm.
bringing Eastern spiritual ideas to a very Protestant country and spreading the word.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happened, I think at that point, women were very integrated into the idea that spirituality and yoga, which is ultimately a spiritual practice, is accessible to women for women in an equal way that a man could access it. So I think the Indians that came or the teachers that came were very open to these women and very grateful to these women. And ever since then, I think the practice has been dominated by women.
What would you say would be your mix at your studios?
It's getting to be more and more. I would say, and my husband might argue with me, but I would say that it's a third men. He
no.
might say it's a fifth. If I have a teacher training, for example, and mm-hmm. I have 33 students in the teacher training, it's true. I'll only have 10% men, three mm-hmm. men maybe out of 30 women.
Right.
But the classes, my classes, have more than that.
It's curious. I wonder if more men go to classes that are taught by men or women or how that works out.
I think the men go to more vigorous classes.
Okay.
They like to be challenged in that way. And just to answer your question about flexibility, having an innate ability to touch your toes, for example, is not necessarily a good reason to go to yoga. Mm-hmm. The inability to bend over and touch your toes is a really good reason to go to yoga. Right? Yeah.
And it's hard to believe that I actually can touch my toes, but I think it's because my legs are really short. So. And my arms are unusually long.
That's an anatomical advantage. Some people are gifted.
Yeah. Originally, how did you get interested in yoga?
Well, originally, I came to the yoga practice as a means of self-healing. When I was in high school, I had an accident where I broke 4 vertebrae, and I have 7 fused vertebrae, and I have a partial paralysis in a right leg. Mm-hmm. I came to the practice. A friend took me. I didn't have any idea what would happen, but mm-hmm. a friend took me, and I was immediately aware of the kind of mind-body connection that happens in the yoga practice and how that sort of facilitated, one, having some relief from pain associated with the injury, but also beginning to embody parts of my physicality that I actually hadn't fully inhabited.
Right.
Since the accident, which was, you know, like 4 or 5 years earlier. Many of us come to the practice as a way of fixing something, whether it's inflexibility or recovering from an addiction or an accident or a disease. But we all stay on the path because we recognize there's something about wholeness which is innate to who we are.
Right.
And we like to keep a familiarity or and increase a dialogue with that aspect of ourselves.
It makes sense, physical ailments and accidents, but you touched upon disease. Can you go into a little more detail about that?
Yeah. Yoga has an underlying belief that the body has an what we would call an inner intelligence that moves itself towards perfect health.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when we get a cut, for example, the body actually heals it. I mean, we put a Band-Aid on
right.
it, but the body knows what to do. And
mm-hmm.
so yoga capitalizes on that. So in order to allow this innate ability to heal ourselves to thrive, we need to, in a sense, get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So we might start by one, letting go of some stress in the body, some tension in the body, which is associated with stress hormones, which keeps what we would call the immune system or the innate healing function suppressed. So the yoga practice, even if you're simply talking about flexibility, can facilitate that kind of healing. But in addition to that, right, we have the whole function of respiration,
mm-hmm.
right? And we have the function of the spine in improving respiration, because if the body's upright, the lungs can fill and empty
right.
completely. So if you think about oxygen and the value of oxygen in health, once you're breathing fully, the body again has this opportunity to work optimally.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, if you're going to show up in your yoga mat every day or 3 times a week or whatever, you need to start eating well, right? Or you need to make sure you go to bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these lifestyle changes come naturally as a means of making sure that you can show up on your mat. And that's really the key to health and longevity. So yeah, there have been remarkable recoveries from things that seem like chronic forever diseases as a result of simply engaging in a yoga practice.
Well, you touched upon how you got started. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about the evolution of Charm City Yoga. You obviously got into yoga after an accident, and then you started this with your husband, and now you've grown to 7 locations. And can you give us some more detail?
Yeah. Again, like I said, our business plan in the beginning, it started out as a desire. You know, our mission early on was to bring quality yoga to the center of the city. Mm-hmm. You know, that was what we wanted to do. And I've always been entrepreneurial. I've always been a person, thanks to my father, who always was like, you know, anytime you can get someone to do something for you, this will give you the opportunity to think and expand on your endeavor. So the idea of the teacher training allowed me to be a better teacher, mm-hmm. because it allowed me to go to India and continue to study, is really, I think, what facilitated and created the ability to expand. And we started out, our second location was in Fells Point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a result of the teacher training and emails from students saying, you should open in Fells Point, you should open in Fells Point, you should open in Fells Point.
It was all the buzz in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I didn't remember that.
We did open here. And then once we did that, that was how we started to move to Towson. Same thing, in response mm-hmm. to the community. And we, again, didn't have a business plan where we took out several $100,000 in order to open these locations. Mm-hmm. We did these locations on a shoestring. Even Midtown, if you know students who've been there since the beginning, it was just one room and we had a toilet and there was offices everywhere else. And as the abundance came in, we used that money to expand, build a second room at the Midtown location, mm-hmm. put some showers in, and everything was very slow and methodical until, in a way, we realized that we had built, I want to say a brand, because that does work in the right. business model, but we had built an approach that was based on creating an exceptional experience for the students, mm-hmm. which would allow them to cultivate a regular yoga practice. That is our dream.
And that's branding. Charm City Yoga signifies that. So,
oh, that's nice of you to say. Well. So everything we did was kind of facilitating that for more people, a bigger demographic. We mm-hmm. came, one of our teachers actually came up with the idea of the community yoga class, which we have the $6 yoga class. Mm-hmm. And she's a public defender in Baltimore and really thought there was a section of the population that wasn't being served by our community. And so we've added that class to every studio that we have. And that's brought an energy, which we, in a way, capitalized on,
right.
meaning we agreed, right, that there was a need and that we could meet that need, mm-hmm. And we could add service to our business. And so Charm City Yoga has kind of been an emergence of great ideas with the mission of bringing quality yoga to the most people possible, mm-hmm. again and again.
Well, actually, something popped when you were talking about the community classes. I know when I'm at my other home at the beach, they do yoga classes on the pavilions at the boardwalk. Have you ever thought about doing yoga classes in the pavilions, say at Patterson Park?
Well,
like that?
We do have free yoga on Saturday mornings all summer long at West Shore Park.
Yeah.
So every Saturday morning that's available. And this year we are connecting with Under Armour, who mm-hmm. has been incredible in making us their signature studio, and outfitting all of our teachers.
Oh, wow.
But we'll be doing a free class in Harbor East every Sunday morning at
their flagship store.
Yeah, which will be really nice. So the free yoga, when the weather's nice, mm-hmm. is available now twice a week, mm-hmm. and the students flock to it. We have over 100 students every week at West Shore Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's so rewarding. It's really nice.
Well, maybe we can try to see if we can get you in Patterson Park, too.
Yeah,
it's such a beautiful view.
I would love, you know, we would love to be in Patterson Park.
Well, let's see what we can do. Okay. Can you talk to me about how beginners can get started? I mean, you can't get more of a beginner than me. I can, you know, barely stand on one foot, so.
Well, we have many means of entry. And one of the most beautiful things about our community is, one, if you're a new student, we have what's called the $30 30-day. Okay, so you can buy a $30 pass, which is good for a month, and you can try any class at any of our locations. So if you're an adventurous beginner, that's a really good way to start. So you could try a hot yoga class, and you can try a beginner level class, and you could try a restorative class. If you're the kind of student that prefers to have everything spelled out so that you kind of understand what you're getting into, we have what's called the beginner series, which is a 5-week series. And we have one of those each week at each location, approximately. And that is going to systematically introduce you each week to a different group of poses, to a different philosophical tenet, because that's a big part of the practice, and to an anatomical focus. So it might be the skeleton standing poses and the importance of right action, you know, might be the theme for that week. And then that'll progress until you have a good understanding of standing, seated, back bend, twisting poses. And that beginner series is very, very popular. The other thing that we do at Charm City is if you come to our studio for the first time, within that first month, our yoga advisor, Christina, will give you a call. And so she'll look at your attendance and she'll say, you know, hey, I noticed you came to the hardest class on our schedule and you haven't been back. Maybe I could help you pick a different class, you know, and so, or the opposite could happen. I noticed you went to a gentle class and haven't been back. Was it too boring, right? Were you looking for more physical challenge? And she can help kind of guide you to the place that's going to meet your needs, because we all have different goals when we enter the yoga practice. Some people want stress relief. Other people want to build strength and balance and flexibility. And those are different approaches to the physical aspect of the practice. And our class schedule reflects that. And even if you were to take a class that said hot yoga, for example, one thing we encourage in the teacher training is that each teacher is sharing what they happen to be super passionate about in the practice at that moment. So one teacher's hot yoga class may be very different than another teacher's. Even the definition of what hot is, right?
It might be 75 degrees for some and 90
that's
for another.
Right. There's a term, you know, that class was Kim hot, you know, because I tend to make it very hot. Whereas there are other teachers that hot is, you know, just like what I would call mucky.
Yeah, 68 degrees to me these days is hot. So.
Right. So that would be, you know, that might be a more appropriate class for you.
Yeah, they have special classes for people with hot flashes?
That's right. That's right.
That could be hot flash yoga.
That's right. Yeah, so then navigating your way through that first month, it's really nice that Christina is there to help. And that can, again, make the possibility of you cultivating a regular yoga practice more likely. And a regular yoga practice, again, is going to vary. For some people, that's 6 days a week. For other people, it's once a week. There is no right when it comes to something like that.
Could you tell us what you're specifically doing? I mean, you said that you go to India once a year and, you know, you're doing your artwork. Is there anything in particular you're putting your focus into these days?
Yeah. With two teachers at the studio, Heather Hacks and Debbie Sag, we have created and implemented Baltimore's first Ashtanga Mysore program that occurs 6 mornings a week. And a Mysore practice is a little bit different than a led class in that there's a sequence of poses, much like the Tai Chi we were talking about earlier. There's a certain form that's memorized. And once that form is memorized, you're self-directed in the practice. And the teachers are in the room to help you physically and to work with you one-on-one to perfect the poses. So that's a really marvelous marvelous addition to our curriculum. You know, hot vinyasa is my baby. I love to teach it. I love to share
it. Is this Kim Hot?
Kim Hot. And it has loud music and lots of fun. And it's actually maybe the other end of the spectrum from this Mysore style practice. So it's very nice for me to kind of live on both ends of the spectrum. Another big piece of my contribution to the studio is the teacher training. Mm-hmm. I offer a low residency, 200-hour teacher training each year, in addition to a summer intensive, which is a 5-day-a-week, 30-day program. And then this month, we're starting our advanced teacher training. This is the fourth time I've offered it for existing yoga teachers who want to continue their study. And that's a 300-hour program over the course of 9 weekends. And we do things where we're looking deeper into the practice. And this year we're excited. We're going to go to the cadaver lab for the first time and really look at anatomy in a very mm-hmm. deep way. So
how many of your teachers would you say were students? I mean, is this sort of the natural progression at Charm City Yoga?
I would say 90% of our teachers have been through one of our trainings. Many of them may have had a training before. The training is not what I would call like a career training,
right.
Although you will come out of there totally ready to teach a yoga class. Many people, like I said, if I have 30 people in the group, I would say, you know, 8 or 10 of them want to teach. The other 20, they're deepening their practice. Okay. They're deepening their understanding. We have what we call the 5 pillars of the practice, and they consist of coming and cultivating a regular practice. Once you've cultivated this regular practice, then you begin to deepen that practice. You begin to add lifestyle events that are going to support the practice, healthier ways of being, which include nutrition. And then as that progresses, you know, eventually you're going to want to deepen your understanding. And the best way to do that is to begin to find ways to share it with others. Mm-hmm. So teacher training is a natural progression for many students.
What would you like to see happen with Charm City Yoga in 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years down the line? Do you ever think that far in advance, or are you just sort of going with the flow? Or?
Yeah. Well, every time we open a studio, I say, that's it. No more. You know, and I've even compared it. You know, I was like, I'm having my tubes tied. No more. So we actually don't have any plans to open any more studios. Chris, actually, my husband, has begun consulting with studios all across the country.
Yep.
Apparently, we are one of the most successful studios in the world.
Wow.
Which I didn't realize. We do have mentors who are in the national industry. They run the software, MindBody software. And so as a result of his success, he is consulting with studios in Dallas and Detroit and Florida, which is wonderful for him. And I just successfully licensed my teacher training to a studio in West Virginia. She was a student of mine who opened her own mm-hmm. studio and has had a thriving community for the last 5 years. So she's successful. Offered her first teacher training and is ready to offer her second. We are open to finding new ways to serve. We've decided for the next year, we really want to focus on making sure all of our facilities are providing the best yoga possible. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that our teachers are given every opportunity to grow as they begin to mature in their practice and mm-hmm. their craft. So we're going to pay attention to home and make sure that we're doing everything in the best way possible.
Okay, well, I think we'll wrap it up. Do you have anything else you want to touch upon that we've missed?
No.
You can give us some information on how to contact Charm City Yoga.
So we have a website, www.charmcityyoga.com, and we have locations all over Baltimore.
Just I'll give you the list. 3 downtown. Yeah. Federal Hill, Fells Point, and Midtown, and 4 in the suburbs, Columbia, Pikesville, Severna Park, and Towson.
That's right. And we're just renovating our Federal Hill studio. I think the first class is taught by Jessica Crowley Friday morning. And it's a beautiful, big location. Very nice, right on Light Street.
Nice. Well, thank you for joining us here at Baltimore Internet Radio.
Thank you for having me.
This is Janice Kaufman, and this is It's Not Personal, It's Business. Thanks for listening.